broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
Celebrity Big Brother raps, but was it entertaining or more annoying? The NRA's Twitter features a beloved TV character. Kelly Dodd calls RHOC's Vicky a pig. And were the Real Housewives of New York City near death? This and more TV talk with Joe Charnoose. Let the ranting begin. I am joined by Joe Charnoose from Friends of the Real Housewives podcast, calling in from Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Joe.
All right. Hello, Grant. Thank you. I'm glad we finally got this connected and can actually make it happen.
Yeah, me too. I think I filled in for you. I was the Joy Behar on your show one time.
Yeah, the my family and I, we were on a cruise and I came back and there was, Evan had mentioned like before I left that, you know, he was going to try and get together with you. And I came back, I think the episode was like 2.5 hours or something. I'm like, dear Lord, like, what did you guys do?
I know. Like, the questions kept coming and I was like, well, I'll tell you what I think, but you know, I don't answer too shortly. I mean, I let you know, you know,
oh,
I
no,
let
you Evan's know. Exact same way. Like, he can definitely go on, like, which I think is what makes the show good too. And what, you know, makes your, is, you know, good also. Like, when I think when you first contacted me, I was talking to Evan about it too. He's like, you know, the good thing about Grant is, like, even if the topic needs some filling, like, he absolutely makes it roll. So, you know, there was no, it was great. Like, we got a lot of really good feedback on it too.
Yeah. Again, if you want to find that episode, it's over on Friends of the Real Housewives podcast. So anyone who's interested in going back, check it out. So let's talk with you, Joe. I'm glad to have, like, I wanted to have you on, like, you know, whenever I'm on another person's podcast, it's so important to support each other and cross promote. So I'm absolutely glad we have the opportunity to do so.
No. I'm very excited and 100% agree. You know, it's weird. It feels like a large community, but it really is very small. Like, and it's great. Like, you know, we've done stuff with, what the Watch What Crappens guys, and like, they've been super nice, and you know, everybody's been like super supportive. And you know, Evan and I have only been doing this for like a couple years, and literally, like, we had no idea what the hell we were doing when we first started, but like, everybody's been like so supportive. It's been really great.
Speaking about keeping it real, you love yourself some reality TV as much as me and half the people listening to this podcast. Celebrity Big Brother.
Yes.
Are you, how deep are you into it? Are you loving it? Are you casually watching? How do you feel about this version?
So the wife and I started watching. I had watched the first season of Big Brother when it came out, and I think like halfway through I kind of lost interest. And then I don't know, I can't fully remember why we got back into it, but around season 8 with Evil Dick and that whole saga, that's where we really picked up. And I don't know if you remember, the season after was during the writer's strike. So they had a season in April, which was like this weird sort of one-off where it seemed like they just kind of threw people together and, you know, came together quickly. And that was back when like the Showtime After Hours show was on. So like, I think now it's on like Pop or something that most people don't have. But like the Showtime one, like, they showed everything, like the swearing and like, you know, everybody's running around naked and stuff. So like, I remember my wife and I were up to like 1 a.m., like 2 a.m. every night, like even on nights where I had to work, we were just like fascinated with this thing. So since then, we've been totally hooked, and we've always talked about how awesome it would be to have a celebrity Big Brother, because I know they do it over in the UK. So like, when they announced it over the summer that it was coming, we were both super excited. I want to say cast wise, you know, there wasn't anybody that really kind of grabbed me. Like, obviously Brandy from, you know, a Housewives fan. Omarosa, I thought would be interesting, but I immediately kind of thought her and Brandy would clash, which I'm kind of surprised. Like, they definitely have, but I'm surprised they haven't more. But we're definitely all in. I would say my one gripe has been the number of people on the show that have asked to be voted off, because I feel like that kind of ruins the game. Like, even, you know, what was it, last week or, you know, a couple episodes ago when Omarosa was head of household and Meta World Peace asked to be voted out, like, that completely kind of ruined her head of household. Like, she had this whole plan. It's like, all right, well, now I got to do this.
Right.
You know, it kind of like screws the game.
That's the thing. There's a lot of wasted time on the show. Like, Russ's HOH was wasted on Keisha Knight Pulliam walking out. And
exactly.
Then same thing with Omarosa. You know, huge deal. Omarosa is the HOH for the first time ever, you know, reality TV icon, whether you love her or hate her. And it really didn't amount to much. And that's how I feel about this whole season in general.
Yeah.
You know, I want to like it, but the whole idea, the whole concept of Big Brother to me is so heavily formatted and very tired. And I'm just really tired of a lot of this gameplay that they constantly are having. And we're being told and not shown, I feel, a lot of these things, because we don't see the social game and the social aspect as much. 90% of the air show is heavily is like heavy gameplay. And then I think the other 10% is just all the formatted. All right, time for the nomination ceremony. Everyone in the living room. Like, it's the same, like, word-for-word dialogue, the same word-for-word voiceover. So I'm very, like, tired of the whole thing. And I hate to say that, but I've just watched too much of it. So I need more social. I need more off-the-cuff. What are these people talking about? You know, when are they doing their laundry type stuff?
Yeah. I mean, that's the interesting thing. Like, I don't know. There's a website, Joker's Updates, we end up going to a lot, my wife and I, because that's where I feel like you kind of get some of the more in-depth stuff, which you're talking about. I mean, I think, and I 100% agree with you, like the thing that we find ourselves being frustrated with every season now more and more is it feels like every episode they try and edit together this storyline where, like, well, maybe we'll turn on our own alliance and maybe we'll end up putting this person up, when you know they're probably going to end up putting up, like, you know, the person that they talked about 2 weeks ago. And, like, they kind of twist it like this, and then they get to the nomination, and it's like, oh, well, no, they're doing exactly what you thought they were going to do and what they said they were going to do. So it's like, it's hard to kind of build that suspense anymore. And I feel like, you know, the thing I watch Survivor a lot. The thing I like about Survivor is, like, every season they try to have some sort of different theme, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I feel like Big Brother needs that. Like, they need to do something to kind of spice things up a little more.
I agree. More than ever. We're going to the 20th season of the show. Yep. I mean, granted, it's morphed and evolved from season one. But I mean, the last, because I really got into it like maybe 16, I think, with Derek in that season. And so that was when I was like really all in. I was out of work that summer and it was like literally all I had to do. So I was really into it. And ever since then, I've been paying close attention, but I'm tired. It's turning into 20. I'm tired. But at the time of recording this podcast, the finale will be airing tomorrow night on CBS. So we currently have in the house Marissa, Ross, Mark, Arianda. Oh, sorry, terrible.
Every time they try and say her name, Arianda.
Arianda and Omarosa. So there's five people left, and I put stars next to Ross and Omarosa because I think those two could be the ones if they're, because the game is, as you know, determined by who's voting for the best game, who played the best game. This is who they vote for. So I think those two have done pretty well. How do you feel about the final five?
Yeah, I'm definitely pulling for Ross. I think it's going to be it'll come down to whoever wins the last head of household. And Omarosa doesn't get to play. So I feel like she's up against a wall here. You know, I think anyone would be stupid to bring her to the final two with them. So I feel like she will win if she gets there. But I feel like it's going to be tough for her to make it there. So I'm pulling for Ross. Like, I think he's played a really good game. I think he's, you know, been probably the most entertaining one in the house. But I also feel like if anybody wins, they've got to knock him out because they know that he'll win.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe that Omarosa is still there. And she's gotten by so much. And, you know, you've got someone like James Maslow who just left, who's saying, like, oh, we got to get rid of Brandy because she's a little bit more of a threat. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, you can't convince me of that.
Same thing. Like, it was last night, right? Like, they were saying, like, oh, well, I would have voted for Marissa because, like, she's definitely going to win if she goes to the final two. And, like, who's going to vote for her? Like, what has she done all season? She's had one head of household where I don't even remember what she actually did. But, like, I don't feel like she has any shot if she makes it to the final two against, you know, pretty much anybody that's left in the house at this point.
And why is production constantly pushing people away from Omarosa? That's why I can't with this show. Yeah. That's what drives you crazy, because, you know, it's not unbiased. And, you know, obviously I get
100%
from a production standpoint, having her on, and, you know, Julie last night in last night's telecast on Friday the 23rd, she was like, oh, you know, you won't want to miss Omarosa's Chucking Moore from the White House. Like, we know it's just a gimmick. You know, we know.
Every episode, there's like her little check-in of like 5 minutes of her talking about the White House. And it's obvious that she's just like hawking her book that, you know, she's eventually going to write. And she's not really giving any information either. So it's not like you're like on the edge of your seat, like, oh, you know, she's giving away like these tidbits. It's like, oh, it's bad in there. Like, that's all she pretty much says. Like, it doesn't really give me anything. So it's not like I'm like tuning in to find out what Omarosa is going to say next.
My last thought on the whole thing is that within this idea of retooling, if anyone's listening, you know, there's no jeopardy when you have two people that are up for eviction. One of them is in gym clothes to compete. And then you've got Brandy in a white jumpsuit.
Exactly. Like, I noticed that.
We know who's leaving. Like, there's no now we're going to figure out how the other votes will fall. I'll tell you. We can fast forward. I'm telling you, I was bitching to myself all morning watching it because I watch it on the unfortunate CBS.com, which is such an unfortunate website. The streaming player, everything is just, it's all Cymbalta commercials, four ads for erectile dysfunction. Like, really, I mean, it's just horrible. But there's no fast forwarding. Big Brother is a show to be watched through the DVR. It really is, because you need 100%. That 10-second fast forward, because there's so much time wasted. I can't. It drives me nuts.
Oh, even I'll fast forward through competitions, like, because I don't need to sit there and watch them hang for 45 minutes. Yeah. Like, just show me like the final two people, and that's all I need. So yeah, I can't imagine trying to watch that without like some sort of skip button.
Ooh, it's very hard. I mean, it's tough, especially when you have other things to do. And it's like, come on, like, these shows, if anyone hasn't been watching, one night a week, these shows are 2 hours, and then it airs two other nights a week for an hour. So it's
there's one tonight, too. There's another, I think it's an hour episode tonight, which I'm assuming is like they always do this, like the final house guest sitting in there, like having talks about all the wacky stuff that went on. So I'm pretty sure it's a throwaway episode, but I'm sure they'll show the final head of household starting at the end.
They're sitting there with all but a script in front of them. Remember the funny time when James thought it was, I'm like, oh, so it's clearly like they're given bullet points and I can't, like, you know, these people are actually actors and performers. So maybe they can fool me a little bit more. But in the past seasons, when you've got someone who's like a tennis instructor trying to make me laugh, no.
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. I mean, you talk about professional actors, though. I will say Mark McGrath has made me more uncomfortable than I've seen anyone on this show in many, many seasons.
Mark McGrath looks like death. He looks like a corpse.
I am so baffled by what he's done because when he was first on, like, I had seen pictures of him, but then when he was on, like, I started doing some digging and like, it seems like he's had like a nose job and then it's a lot of fillers and Botox and stuff like that. But like, I don't, not that Sugar Ray is like some hardcore band that, you know, like people are following, but like someone in that kind of group, like, why are you having plastic surgery done? Like, I don't feel like that's the, like sort of the image that you need to portray. Like, I'm so baffled by all the work he's had done.
Between him and Brandy, they're like two, they come with the house like two candles, you know?
She looks rough. Like, she's always looked like she's had a lot of work, but for whatever reason, like this on Big Brother, like, and maybe because I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah.
But like, even, I don't know if you watched, she was on, I forget the name of it. It was like a cooking show with her and her ex-boyfriend. Like they competed. It was like Lance Bass and his mom. Like, she was on there.
Of course it's Lance Bass. Well, he'll do anything.
My wife will literally, like, anytime he walks on the screen, especially because he'll be on like Vanderpump a lot or, you know, anything with Lisa, like, she just, like, her eyes roll and she starts to scoff. Like, she hates him.
It's just too overexposed. You know what I mean? These people, you don't have to say yes to everything. Now, I get Brandy has to make money for her kids, but does Lance Bass need the money that badly? It's just fame. Yeah. It's just fame whoring. It's tired.
Well, even like, is he getting cash? Like, if he just pops up on, you know, Beverly Hills Housewives, like every once in a while, like,
I don't know.
I get that they're friends, but like, I feel like he's constantly there. Like,
yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I guess that's his deal.
Well, let's take a very brisk turn, but we're going to keep it fun. The NRA. Yes. it just, horrible. First of all, like, I've used this platform before to speak my mind about this stuff, and I'm completely anti-gun, but that's me, and I get it that we need to find somewhere in the middle, and we need to find something that can do with these automatic weapons. But the NRA is using a GIF from Parks and Recreation of Leslie Knope, played by Amy Poehler, and they've tweeted this to the official spokeswoman, who is a complete cockroach of a person. I won't even say her name. And they tweeted in support of her. They said, "Thank you for being the voice of over 5 million members." And they used Leslie Knope saying thank you, like, pointing at the camera or pointing at someone behind the camera. So very direct. And in my opinion, the NRA is a homegrown terrorist organization. And I think it's terrible how they own these people. And Marco Rubio should be completely ashamed of himself. But the co-creator, that's just my inserting my own points of view here.
Oh, I'm there with you. Don't worry. Don't worry at all.
But I mean, it's just disgusting.
This would be a really uncomfortable show if I came out and said, you know, I'm a card-carrying member, right?
Well, you know, that's your prerogative. But you, the thing is, you can be a card-carrying member, but you don't have to agree with the with all of this agenda. Oh, you know what I mean?
Definitely there with you, so do not worry.
Unfortunately, the people who do pay to belong to this, they're supporting the wrong side of history, and that's as nice as I can put it. You know what I mean? It's like you can be part of it and believe in having guns, but you don't have to financially support this group.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, I feel like, so it is interesting. Like, I love the fact that, you know, now there's this sort of backlash. Like, I don't know if you saw today, like, I think it's United Airlines and what is it, Delta are now like cutting ties with them. Like, you know, I do feel like this is a turning point. And I feel like, you know, there's got to be some change going on now. Like, I know there's a lot of pressure for like Amazon and Apple to drop their ties. So I've got to imagine that they'll follow suit pretty soon. So
they should have done it a long time ago. It's too friggin' late. I'm not impressed by anybody leaving now. Of course, I want people to make a big statement. But if you really stood for that, you would have done something when all those children were killed and all these high school shootings. You know, this year alone, it's been more than ever. It's incredible. So I don't know. I don't have any sympathy at all for any of these gun people.
Yeah,
and I know you don't. I know you don't.
No. I just think it's, you know, I feel like there's so much pressure now that I feel like something's got to give. And I 100% agree. Like, I don't think, you know, Amazon or United or any of these companies get any, you know, pats on the back for like now being the time, because they're obviously just doing it because they're getting all this pressure from outside. But I do think it's great that like people are really getting involved now and really kind of putting that pressure on. And like, it is finally making some sort of difference. So, you know, I hope it continues. But I don't, did we actually even talk about what the tweets back were?
Well,
from,
not yet. Back to Twitter. Mike Schur, the co-creator of Parks and Recreation, said he tweeted the NRA and he said, "Hi, please take this down. I would prefer you not to use a GIF from a show I worked on to promote your pro-slaughter agenda." Agreed. Amy Poehler does not have a Twitter account. I was kind of surprised by that.
Me too.
Yeah, so she has to apparently sent him a message, and he then tweeted, "Also, Amy isn't on Twitter, but she texted me a message." And then quotes, "Can you tweet the NRA for me and tell them I said F off?" I mean, you know, they are using her image and likeness, you know, to promote a horrible message. I would be livid. I would be livid if something with my show or my name was connected to some type of pro thing with that. Whew. I know this fair use, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting now with Twitter and, you know, you can easily kind of access this stuff. So, you know, it surprises me that it's taken this long for like something like this to happen where, you know, these types of groups are going to start, you know, promoting with all these images that you can track down. So there's really nothing to stop them at this point. No. So, you know, I do think it's interesting. I don't know if they've actually taken down the tweet at this point. I haven't checked.
Well, it was still up on CNN, and I don't know if that was linked to the account or if that was a screen grab or if it was the way they feature tweets, but it didn't mention in the article that it's since been removed.
Thank you for being. You know what? It looks like it actually is still up there. So
Wow. Really disgusting, but not surprising. Yeah. When the person asks you, you know, when the person asks you, please take that down. And, you know, they really, now Nick Offerman did tell them to eat, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's still at the same time, like no respect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see the NRA or, you know, whoever is actually doing this kind of being like, well, we're going to stick it to them and keep this up. And just
the crazy liberal left who wants people to be protected from artillery life rifles and automatic rounds. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I still think it brings like a good, you know, amount of shame on them. So, you know, the more the merrier at this point.
Well, elsewhere on Twitter, there are other things going down. And yes, these tweets are actually being deleted in this coming story. Now, one thing I know about Joe is he does not care for the OG of the OC, Vicki Gunvalson.
Absolutely not. But I am very pro Kelly Dodd. So when I saw this stuff kind of leaking out, I got very, very excited for what's to come on next season of Orange County.
I'm just glad that while I have you, we can find something to discuss surrounding the Vicky G.
So I forget, are you a fan? Are you pro Vicky or?
Oh, you know, It's kind of like a certain, if it's like if you have a family member that's bigoted, you kind of have to like them, but you really don't agree with, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm not calling her a bigot, people, but I'm just saying, like, she's a tough one to like, but I respect her for her position and I like her on the show and I don't want her to leave the show, but she is a very difficult person. That's the nicest way I can put it.
You know what's interesting? Like, I completely get why you feel that way. I 100% disagree, but
that's cool.
I think it dawned on me last season that, you know, because I belong to a few like these Facebook groups that are like the private where like everybody posts like all the rumors and stuff. And like everybody always talks about Vicky needs to leave the show. It dawned on me, I think, last season, though, that like if she did, what do they have going on there? Like, it's
absolutely,
you know,
absolutely nothing.
She's, you know, kind of the centerpiece of all like the arguments and the drama and the fighting. So if she left, like, you know, everybody's pretty much kumbaya. Like, you know, what do you have? Shannon and, you know, what the heck's her face? Peggy fighting, which, you know, now that Peggy's gone. Like, but I mean, even that, like, it's not that interesting of an argument. Like, at least Vicky, despite all of her issues, like, is very good at bringing the drama to the show. So.
Well, you know, it's already starting. They've been filming for 2 weeks, and here we go. Steve Lodge is friends with Michael Dodd, who is Kelly Dodd's soon to be ex-husband. So apparently there was a friend that he made this introduction. Steve takes credit in this Page Six interview for setting up Michael, and he asked Vicky not to say anything to Kelly.
Which is, this whole like situation is weird to me. The fact that like Steve is commenting on like Page Six, like, because I think when they first set him up, they had him as like this like relatable, down to earth guy. And like, and I know, and I can't remember the specifics, but I remember last season, like, stuff started to leak out about like he has kind of a shady past. But like the
surprise,
fact that like he's
surprised.
Yeah, exactly. Like the fact that he's talking to Page Six kind of like skeeves me out about him in general, but. Sorry, go on. I didn't mean to cut you off.
To your point, I think that Vicky had him do that to make a public announcement about it since it broke on Twitter and, you know, she wanted to get ahead of it, which is the wrong thing to do. But, you know, Vicky never really knows. But I think it was pressure from Vicky. I can't imagine him calling them up himself. But I can imagine Vicky handing him the phone, you know? I can't imagine literally her just handing him the phone. So,
like, you've got it. Yep, I can totally agree with that.
So my friends over at Reality TV, they put out an article and they said, you know, a lot of this stuff is alleged, but they said apparently the new girlfriend was friends with Kelly Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
So shady right there. Apparently, this new girlfriend of Michael's turned down a role of being a full-time housewife on Beverly Hills Housewives.
Oh, I did not see that part.
Interesting. And apparently Vicky told Bravo about the new relationship before she knew Kelly found out.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And I think in this article, like Steven even says, like, I wanted to keep it a secret from Kelly to not like cause any issues, which right there tells you that like they know that they're doing some shady business there.
Yeah. I mean, there's no keeping secrets. It's just like last week on this show, we were talking about how the other one, Bedore, was using hashtag not a secret anymore to announce his new relationship. Like, I mean, they're joking. They are joking if they think these are secrets.
Well, that's, I mean, and you and Evan kind of talked about it back when you guys did the show, like it takes away from the shows, I feel, at some point, like when you kind of know what's coming up, like it doesn't build the excitement for me as much as it used to. Like, I think a perfect example is like two seasons ago on Vanderpump Rules when they were going through Tom and Katie's wedding. And like they built the whole season around the fact that like, oh, are they going to get married or not? But meanwhile, you saw like 3 months earlier that they're posting all these Instagram posts of their wedding and their honeymoon and how they're, you know, all happy and chummy. Like, it's I love reading about this stuff, but it's also like, well, now I know exactly what's going to happen on this season.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, we'll tease, like, we're going to be talking about what's happening with Real Housewives of New York, and like, that's pretty, like, we pretty much can tell exactly what's going to happen this coming season now with this whole boat incident, so.
Oh, yes, yeah. Which I am all for and very excited to watch.
Yeah, there's more to discuss with that. Meanwhile, back to Twitter. Unlike the NRA, Kelly did delete a tweet that she put out. She said, at Page Six, Steve Lodge is a douchebag along with his pig of a girlfriend, and I am 42 years old, not 44 years old. Such a housewife tweet.
And such a Kelly Dodd tweet. Like, I love, you know,
you can hear
a lot of people dislike her. And I, Oh, absolutely. Like, she, more than anyone, like, maybe, you know, Brandy along the same lines, will just say, like, the nastiest things without thinking. And, like, that's what I kind of, you know, I can't say I love about her, but that's what I think makes her so entertaining and what I thought, like, really made her a great addition to this cast. Like, but, you know, now that she has the leader, like, I'm kind of curious, like, what's going on there? Like, are her and Vicky trying to reconcile or what? I hope not, because I don't want to see that happen, but... But it's interesting nonetheless.
A fan later tweeted Kelly asking her why Steve ended up talking to the press, a similar question you had. And Kelly just said, exactly, that's why he's a douche. And another tweet that was deleted was Vic. She called Vicky a disloyal bitch. Well, who hasn't?
Yeah.
I mean, they all, I can just hear Tamara saying, that's Vicky. I can just hear her saying it.
Yep, absolutely. And it'll be interesting because I'm curious. I at the end of last season when like Kelly was starting to get along with Shannon and like that whole friendship was going and then they both announced their divorces. Like I feel like everybody's really looking forward to seeing what's happening there. And then now with like this whole Vicky and Kelly Dodd feud squaring up, like I have very high expectations for the upcoming season of OC.
Well, they've got to be higher than they were because the last season was like anything is going to be better. How do you feel about the decision to get rid of all three, Peggy, Lydia, and the other one, Megan?
You know, Megan... I had always kind of liked, but she didn't really add anything to the show. I think Evan and I have talked about it a lot. Like her best thing was every once in a while, she would just kind of chime in with like what the viewer was thinking. But like outside of that, I didn't think she was very entertaining. And from what I've read, like she apparently was trying to get more money because now she's pregnant with twins and she thought that would be an exciting storyline. Mm. Peggy and Lydia, like the moment they stepped on screen this last season, I'm like, I hope these two get booted.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy to see them go. Like Peggy, I just never got the appeal of even putting her on the show. Like, I don't know what they thought she was going to bring. I thought she was just very dull and, you know, came off as like, I don't know, the whole her and her husband I thought were very uncomfortable and just felt like they were from another planet and didn't really fit in. Lydia, I never understood why they wanted to bring her back to begin with, so I'm happy to see her gone also.
Yeah. No, that's the general consensus. Yeah, I'm very encouraged by the fact that they did make that tough decision of getting rid of not one, but two, but three people.
Yep.
And, you know, that's pretty bold, and I'm glad that they didn't play it safe and hold on to Megan for one more season while they're in yet another transition with yet more bad casting. So I predict that the new cast, they may be, I don't know, like there's a lot of rumors, obviously, but I think that maybe they should just focus on hiring one more and then keeping the cast small. The show does pretty decent with a small cast, you know, just adding people to add people has not worked. I love the more housewives, the better. I don't know if you ever looked at Cheshire, but it's like a lineup. There's, I think, 9 housewives for Real Housewives of Cheshire.
It's amazing.
Like, I love it. Yeah. But this show just can't, I mean, the casting choices, we just don't need 9.
I mean, the U.S. in general, like all of the housewives, like there's really New York, I thought was pretty good this season. But I mean, Jersey's been very flat. Even Atlanta, which I feel like is usually good, has kind of faltered this season. A little last couple episodes have been good. Like, I don't know what Andy Cohen's got to do, but like, I think he's got to kick all these, you know, give him like a little bit of a boot. Like something's gotta give at this point.
Yeah, I agree. And we just need to bring back Dallas. If I can just end on that note, we need Dallas back ASAP.
It 100 completely agree. Like Leanne Locken, she is the perfect villain that you can relate to. Like, I don't know where they found her, but she is just sent from above to stir the pot down there.
Well, we're going to have more conversation with Joe in a minute. We're going to talk about the Real Housewives of New York cruise from hell. And I want to get a little bit more insight just on the podcasting world with Joe, just chatting with him a little bit more, that and more in a moment.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Joe Charnoose from Illinois. Hello, Joe. Welcome back.
All right. It's good to be back.
Did you see this photo of Ramona in a wheelchair?
The entire thing is—it's something that I would love to have painted and like hung above my fireplace.
Real Housewives of New York, they went on a cruise. And this photo, I tweeted it. Erin Martin, friend of the show, put it out there. And I just couldn't get enough. And I just couldn't even get past looking at Ramona in the chair. Just like doom and gloom. Like, those women look like they had been through holy hell.
Well, yeah, she's in the chair. Dorinda looks like she just got done throwing up. Like it literally looks like some sort of weird stage Vanity Fair like cover that was set up, but apparently it is not, and it sounds like an amazing trip.
It looked like to me it was like a third world like hurricane relief. You know, like that's what I got from it. I was like, you know, like they're in an airport, like on their hands and knees, like it was just like a mess. I'm laughing because these women get paid so much money and they're making such a big deal about this. And it all boils down to not that serious, but as what they want you to believe, according to Page Six, is that it was a cruise from hell. It started off as a pleasure cruise in Colombia, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
There's your first problem.
that's where you go.
That's your first problem. And then apparently the women are, it was so dramatic, but covered in vomit. The boat had caught fire, an engine fire. It started sinking. They had to sever the anchor.
What they said, like they had to cut the anchor just so they could get out. Like that should be your first tip off that, hey, maybe this isn't meant to be and we should get off the boat.
I love it. I know the way this was painted, it was just made it sound like it was just all these warning signs. I'm picturing like this old like wooden side boat, like
it's like the boat from Jaws or something, and they're like, oh, this is gonna be relaxing.
I thought about this production booked this. I can't imagine, especially with, you know, supposed to play up this high society aspect of these women.
Yep.
I just can't imagine anyone would willingly put the production company and make them responsible for a janky boat. And then if they're supposed to show off lifestyles, you know, we've seen a lot of boats in Real Housewives. You know, they usually always outdo the next. I can't imagine that this was like some like literal junk boat. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, that's what's kind of like, I don't know if you saw last week's episode of Atlanta too, but when they're, where the heck are they? But Cynthia rents like this house that they're staying with. And it looks like some crappy house that like, you know, I could afford to rent down at the Jersey Shore. Like, I'm not here to watch you guys live the same sort of lifestyle I can. Like, I want to see you doing things that, you know, I can't possibly afford. So, yeah, I'm curious, like, what the rationale or like how this boat, you know, came to be for them.
Unless if they're in Colombia and that is just the nicest thing they have, which I just don't. I can't imagine that Colombia is a nice country, like beautiful, like, you know, attractive. I mean, especially if it's on the water, I can't imagine that was the best boat in the port.
Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. My only hope is I haven't read anywhere, but like my only hope is that the cameras were actually on the boat with them and we don't just kind of get the before and after.
I hope so. I read in an article that the crew was on board too, because they talked about the lack of life preservers. They said there were only two or three.
That's right.
They said there were only two or three life preservers on the boat, or life jackets, like whatever they're called. And they said, you know, between the crew and the cast, it wasn't nearly enough. I mean, they're making this sound to be so over the top. It made for a very entertaining read.
Oh, amazing. And like of any group for this to happen to, and literally like of any person, Ramona on this boat, like that's what I want to see. Like, this sounds terrible and it's awful to say, but you know, they're fine now, they're back. But like, to be able to watch like an hour of Ramona, like legitimately terrified for her life, like that is going to be some award-winning TV.
I hope. I know. Let it play. Just do a full episode,
exactly,
real time.
No editing.
Yeah, just real time. You know, even if it's a little visually awful to see people throw up, just cut to someone else screaming. Because apparently it was everyone was screaming. This one thing says Bethany and Ramona and Dorinda were soaked in screaming, followed by Tinsley and who's the other one? Carol. About the other one. Carol and Tinsley throwing up all over the place. Apparently, no fire extinguisher, no English speaking people on the boat, flying furniture.
It's exactly what you're talking about. Like, how did this come to be? Like, who looked at this bones and goes like, yep, this will do just fine for them?
And then it all ends in the article saying that a passing boat saved them. And Bravo is now offering counseling and investigating. Now, you know, I'm taking this with a grain of salt. I mean, it's, again, it made for a fantastic read.
Yeah, and I mean, there's been rumors. I can't imagine this is true, because I think Bethany even tweeted, like, don't believe everything you read. But, like, she rumors did. That, like, they're suing the production company. Like, I can't imagine that's true. But you know, if it is, for whatever reason, you know.
Let's and be I guess real.
You mentioned it. Luann's not there, right? Because she probably can't leave the country.
Well, another article said she was there, but the names that I just read, she wasn't included in. So, I'm wondering how the hell did she get to Columbia? Yeah, I mean, I doubt it. I doubt it. Meanwhile, I guess you said Bethany did tweet. She said, "One thing about the Housewives, we never let the truth get in the way of a good story. There was a boating incident. That said, the details being reported are false."
Yeah. So I assume that means like the suing and, you know, any sort of like lawsuits that might happen. I mean, you know, the stuff that happens on the boat, I've got to imagine that's fairly accurate. But again, who knows? I hope it is. If it's not, I'm gonna be really disappointed.
I know. Well, to tone it all down and bring it to earth, according to a Bravo spokesperson, this is over on realityt.com. The spokesperson says, "On the return trip to the mainland, the boat encountered turbulent water, which caused the anchor to deploy unexpectedly. At no time was the vessel in danger of sinking, nor was a rescue required. Thankfully, everyone is fine. The safety of our cast and crew is paramount. And to that end, we are still reviewing the situation." So my guess is somewhere in the middle is the truth.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine this boat was ablaze. No English-speaking people, no life jackets, and sinking at the same time. I just can't imagine all that at once.
You know? I would just like love to be that boat that picked them up. Like my wife and I always talk about how I would like in any when they're out in public and having these fights. Like I would love to be sitting at the table next to them or be like the guy working behind the counter of the hotel. Can you imagine being on a boat and rolling up and finding the entire cast of Real Housewives New York on like a burning ship, like throwing up and crying, like? What sort of jackpot did you hit there?
I know. Oh, I can't wait to watch it. It's this season's going to be filled with great things, and I'm happy to see New York Housewives in such a great, healthy place story-wise and cast-wise, and it's good to see a strong show, because these other shows, you know, like I say it all the time, these people, like Lisa Vanderpump, they hold these shows hostage. You know, you've got NeNe back, and I knew that wouldn't be good for the show. You know, it's tough to see some of these shows just like these stars now.
Yeah.
Run them. Yeah. And you know, I have to say, Bethany, I really don't care for her, but she does let the show breathe, and I appreciate that.
I would put her at like the top of my list. I love Bethany. I'm surprised. What is your we don't have to totally get into it, but what is your gripes with Bethany?
My gripe with her is I didn't see her in the beginning, so I didn't see this whole come up storyline. So that's probably where the disconnect is for me. But I just feel like she's a really miserable, unhappy person, and I feel like she uses the show to take it out on these women. And I don't expect people to agree with me, but I just view her as a miserable person.
Well, I think I agree with you, but I think coming from New York and maybe being of the same blood, I totally relate to it, and I love her for it.
I mean, she is New York. I mean, I get it. But, you know, at the same time, I do appreciate that she does show that even with success and money, you can still be miserable. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's very true to life. It's very real to life. You know what I mean? Like, money doesn't buy you everything. So.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she's definitely gone through a terrible, rough divorce. You know, despite the fact that she's loaded, like she's had some issues.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the more money she makes, the more miserable she is. You know, that's like that's everyone's worst nightmare. You know, you hope that when you find success and whatever that dollar amount is to you or whatever success is to you, that you'll be happier. You know what I mean? It's kind of a shame.
She'll get there. She'll get there, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit more with you now. I know that you're from Chicago. Now, one show that I enjoyed, like, are you from Chicago or did you just live there currently?
No, so I'm originally from upstate New York.
Okay.
I grew up there. And then after I graduated college, I moved down to I lived in New Jersey, but literally like right across the bridge from New York, because I worked in New York City. So my wife, daughter and I, we just moved out to Chicago. Well, we're in the Chicago burbs about 5 years ago. So we're still fairly new to the area.
I have to ask, did you ever have any interaction with the mob wives, the Chicago mob wives?
So we watched the show and excuse me, I think maybe it was like my second or third week here. I was walking back from lunch and I saw, I'm terrible with names. I'm not going to remember. But yeah, I saw one of the Chicago Mob wives walking down the street, and I was like, you know, 2 weeks in, I'm like, oh, this is it. Like, you know, I'm going to be a part of this. And then what? I mean, that's been off the air for what, like 5 years now?
Maybe a long time. Even more.
Yeah. I used to see a lot of the New York ones, like walking around the city. Because when I worked in New York, I worked right in like Midtown. So I would see a lot of them like floating around, like two or three of them at least. Never Big Ange, unfortunately. But yeah.
Yeah. I know Big Ange. She's still so popular with all the gifts and everything online. Right? You know, her spirit lives on. But right. I was just curious. I watched that show and covered it for AfterBuzz years ago, and it just made me think. I was like, what shows are based in Chicago right now that are unscripted? And I can't really place anything.
There's that. They had on Bravo that 100 Days of Summer, which was awful. Like, yeah. I don't think it really represented Chicago at all. Although, I mean, I'm a 40-year-old father of one. It's not like I'm running around with the kids, like, you know. But, yeah. You know, it wasn't very entertaining. I think we made it through like 3 or 4 episodes. Outside of that, there's not much that I can think of. I mean, we've got every like Chicago Fire, Chicago Police, every other show on TV is Chicago right now, but like not much in the way of reality. And I mean, it was a while back when I think he was doing his first book tour, like Andy Cohen said, like he just doesn't think Chicago is a city for a housewife show, which, you know, I guess I can somewhat agree with, but I mean, you know, I feel like he could. It's weird that he would say that, but then he's like, well, Potomac, let's get that going.
That clearly was like unintentional and just kind of thrown up against the wall, I think.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe someday, but we'll see. But no, not much here, unfortunately. Right.
Yeah. No, that 100 Days of Summer, that's like that other show, To Roam with Love. Like, you wonder why they do some of these shows, because they're just not going to pop. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, for me, they just don't translate.
So. No, it's rare. Like, we watch, I really like Southern Charm. I think that is good. The spinoff that they did, which was it, Savannah or whatever, like, it just didn't have it. Like, I don't know. It's really your cast. Like, it's hit or miss.
Totally.
You know, the 100 Days of Summer, like if you had like a good group of people that are interesting to watch, like they could have been completely different. But like, I don't know, like, I don't know how they decide who they're going to put on these things, but they picked a bunch of duds for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it all comes down to. So when you're not podcasting and watching Housewives, what do you work on in Chicago? You work in advertising?
Yeah. So I am a staffing manager for an advertising agency. So pretty much what that means is I find the people that, you know, are going to have awful weekends and have to do all the work. Like I pretty much, nobody likes when I come up and talk to them because I'm going to ask them to do stuff. So I find the creatives to actually make like a lot of these commercials you see on TV. And you know, that's kind of where I'm at.
Nice. Anything of note that we might know of?
I don't know if I can even say specifically a lot of stuff you would see during the day, while watching Price is Right.
All right.
Only be, so, you know, that's probably as far as I can go.
Right. Yeah. Well, as long as it's not those pharmaceutical ads that I was bitching about earlier.
That was my old life. Actually, when I first graduated from college, I used to, do pharmaceutical like CD-ROM development, which sounds just as exciting as it was. Like, pretty much I would fly to these conferences, film them, and then have to program CD-ROMs, which, you know, half of the audience listening probably doesn't even know what those are anymore, but that was my life, like sitting in these conferences for like 6 hours and just recording and then digitizing everything and then, you know, making programs out of it.
Ugh, yeah. Well, there's nothing worse than a pharmaceutical commercial in the afternoon or at any time. I can't imagine having to go through information on a CD-ROM. But
I sat through like probably 30, 40 conferences. I couldn't tell you one thing that I actually retained from this thing.
Wow. Yeah. It's interesting how our brains are so selective with information.
Well, it's like, yeah, like no one's going to ask me questions about it. So I just kind of zone out and the wall.
Yeah. Well, one question I am going to ask you is, how did you discover Real Housewives? I know you're like a family man, you work in advertising. Like, how the hell did you come about Bravo and these Housewives?
It's literally at the time when OC first started, I was dating my now wife. I want to say I didn't watch the first season, but it would be like one of those things where like I'd be working in the background and she'd be watching and I would kind of overhear it. And then it just progressively turned from me working to sitting on the couch watching with her. So I'll say I've been since like maybe season 2 of OC, maybe 3. But since then, like, we've watched everything. Miami and DC, I fell out of, like, I just never really got into, but like, I've at least given it a go. But yeah, it's just, I don't know what it is. Like, it's just these women in these communities where, like, I could never afford to live, watching them argue over this kind of stuff has always just fascinated me. Like, even it's weird, like, going back to the first season of Real World, which I was maybe like an early teen. Like, I don't know why, but like, just the whole concept of like reality TV, like, I just find fascinating. Like, and, you know, I didn't even like understand half of the stuff they were talking about at that time. But like, still just like watching these people go out about their daily lives, I always thought is like super interesting.
That's why you're a great guest for this show, because that's who's here. It's people who just find it fascinating. Like, these people, like, I was watching, I talked about last week on this show about that show Love After Lockup. I mean, just these train wrecks. So easy to dismiss these people as just, like, trash. But it's just so fascinating to see how these people live and what they believe.
And I don't, like, it, for me, like, I don't really get into a lot of the competition shows. Like, I watch Survivor and I watch Big Brother, but outside of that, like, I really just want to watch people be, you know, awful to each other or like interact. Like,
even like here,
like, I know it's all scripted and kind of set up, but like, it's still, there's, and Evan and I talk about it a lot. Like, there's a lot of these like small little nuggets that you get on these shows where, like, you know, you see it a lot with like Lisa Vanderpump and Kyle. Like, they have these moments where they're generally interacting and like joking around. And like, I feel like that's the stuff that everybody really enjoys. Whereas like something like The Bachelor, like, you know, it's just as trashy, but it feels so staged and like you never kind of get those like real moments. Like, it just, for whatever reason, like, it just doesn't appeal to me.
Right. Yeah. I know. I wish I was on The Bachelor train. I mean, this show could find a whole new audience if I did that. I mean, I've thought about it, but I just can't bring myself to doing it, and I'll never fake it. You know what I mean? Like, I just forget it.
I've tried to watch like maybe one or two seasons. One, it, I feel like it's on like every night for 3 hours. So like having time to keep up with that is one thing. And then two, just like watching like this guy go back to his hometown and like try and like woo women. Like, I don't, like, it just, it never appeals to me. Like, I appreciate and I totally get how some people can get into it. Like, I don't knock it, but it never really connected with me. Like, you know, I guess on the flip side, like, I 100% got into like the, what is it, like Rock of Love and
I was hoping you would say that. Yes. Now that, like, I'm completely behind, because I love that, because that, they know they're in on the joke. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, they know how ridiculous it really appears.
Yeah, but like season four of Bret Michaels trying to find a wife on the show, it's like, you know, maybe this isn't going to work out for you, but I will definitely watch it go down. Do you remember, was it The Surreal Life that they used to have on VH1?
And and I don't know why they don't bring that show back to television.
I bring that up constantly. Like, that, like, VH1 had this like heyday of like reality shows.
Yep. Celebrity.
Amazing. And I don't know, like, if people just lost interest or what happened, but like, it was amazing. And like, The Surreal Life, I feel like, was like the keep of, or the key of that. Like, it was just, that was fascinating. That's what Big Brother celebrity should have been. Like, exactly. Just people locked in a house, like, hanging out. Like, it was great.
Totally. And that whole thing, now MTV is trying to bring back all these things from the beginning. I feel like now, with all these washed up people from Instagram and the reality stars and all these people, they could easily throw people in a house and do such a thing. And MTV is bringing back everything from the start. They've brought back, you know, TRL and now Jersey Shore, and then, you know, they're doing that reunion that they're shooting now, and the other one, that Floribama thing, horrible. But you know what, so they're all part of Viacom. VH1 is on its own track. It's no longer in that mindset anymore. I'm not seeing programming like that come out, like Flav and anything. But MTV is having an identity crisis. They own those shows. Put those shows on MTV. Nowadays, with this on-demand, you know, viewership and DVRs, nobody cares if it's what network it's on. But, you know, people remember the way we remember The Surreal Life. And it, like, made people's careers. Like,
Or even just take, like, they could easily do this. Like, take a couple people from Jersey Shore, take a couple people from Rock of Love, you know, just cherry pick from these different shows that they had and throw them all in a house for like 3 months and just let us watch it. Like, it would be fascinating.
All you need is Tiffany, and then just throw in a bunch of randoms. You know what I mean? Like, New York, a bunch of randoms, and then they find Brigitte Nielsen from whatever street corner she's on. And She'll do it for $5.
What a weird time, Brigitte Nielsen and Flavor Flav, like, having this weird on-screen romance, even though apparently she was married at the time. Like, what world was that from? But it was amazing. And I think they had like a spinoff show for a while too, right? Mm. It was just the two of them. Like it was whatever it was, like they struck gold there, and they've got to find that again.
Flav is still out there. I mean, he's been on a downward spiral. I think Wendy Williams was saying he just got beat up in the street somewhere or something like that. Like, I mean, you know, put him in. Like, I'm sure he could use the money. So I've said this for years, and I've said this on this show and just forever. I mean, you know, these people are, I'm sure they're ready and willing, and you can pay them nothing.
Oh, absolutely. Like, what else are they doing? You know, like
they probably jump at the chance. Yeah.
Yeah. So, agreed.
Friends of the Real Housewives podcast, what are some highlights from that show that stand out to you?
Oh, man. Well, I want to say, so episode 50, we got Leanne Locken to come on, which, you know, she was amazing to talk to. And she was very like, it was in between season one and two. And like, she just really opened up. So I thought she was great.
She's great.
You know, I think anytime we kind of get guests on is always a lot of fun. But, you know, Evan and I, it's interesting. Like, I think he told the story when he was on too. Like, I co-host a horror podcast, Bloody Good Horror, and he for a while was writing for that, or still does from time to time. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't think he assumed that I was a Real Housewives fan, but I run the Bloody Good Horror Twitter account too. And when he started writing, you know, we connected and everything, and I started going through and saw all these like pictures of him with housewives and stuff. And like, we stuck up this friendship, you know, from there. So I just think like, it's going to sound super sappy, but like the fact that like Evan and I've really kind of built this friendship and then like spawned this podcast, like it's really been amazing. Like we're, you know, 2 years in now, like we've gotten a pretty decent following. Like we have, you know, I met Heather, like one of our listeners, like actually wanted to meet in person when she was in Chicago, like in a, you know, we've gotten a lot of other folks that have like, you know, been super friendly to us. So, you know,
best.
I just think
the listeners, like, the listeners in this vein of reality TV and entertainment are just the best.
It's really like a community. And I think that's the thing that I love so much. Like I can talk about this stuff forever. And like, that's why like, you know, I love being so active, like on Twitter and, you know, even like our Facebook account, like we post up a question every week that we ask and then, you know, talk about it at the end of the show. And like Facebook, especially like the rants we get are just amazing. And they're always like spot on and super entertaining. Like it's just, you know, that to me is like what makes the show fun.
That's great. You know, you mentioned Bloody Good Horror. That show's doing really well. Over 400 episodes already. It's crazy.
Yeah, we have been doing that. We just had our 10-year anniversary. We did like a big event up in Milwaukee where we did like a movie screening and then rented out a distillery for the evening. Like, so I jumped in that probably about 8 years ago. They had been doing it for a couple years. It was a couple buddies of mine from high school that I kind of lost track of and then, you know, reconnected on Facebook and saw at the time they were doing a website and just kind of got caught up there. I started with them, I think around like episode 100 is when I was like, you know, quote unquote officially, but every week we watch a horror movie, and then discuss it on the show. And it's really just like five guys that have got, or five, and Cece, is one of the first female, co-hosts we've had, you know, just kind of going back and forth, making dumb comments about this movie, whether it's good or not. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And like, Evan's been involved with that for a while. So, you know, it's weird. Like I thought eventually it would kind of phase out, but we've been kind of going strong.
That's great. That's great. It only helps you build your following, even though you've got probably a different audience with the show. Like just, you know, you're like me, just love to podcast.
Yeah.
You know,
it's interesting.
Great.
The crossover we get of like horror fans and like reality TV fans, like there's definitely kind of this audience that kind of goes back and forth. And I think the fun thing is like, we've gotten a lot of people that started listening to the Friends of the Real Housewives because they've been fans of Bloody Good Horror and now started watching like a lot of these shows too. So it's been,
wow.
It's been great because like, we're not actually affiliated with Bloody Good Horror, but you know, the support we've gotten from like that crew there has been really great.
That's great. Well, thanks for this show. I mean, where can we find you? And if, you know, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, where can we check out both shows? Where can we find them?
Sure. Bloody Good Horror. You can just go to bloodygoodhorror.com. Friends of the Real Housewives, just search for that in iTunes or whatever your streaming service is, and you can find us there. I'm on Twitter at JoeBGH. Same thing on Instagram at JoeBGH. Friends of Our Housewives, you can find us at FriendsRH on Twitter, and then on Facebook. Just facebook.com/friendsrh also.
Sounds good. Well, in this episode, we talked about Flavor Flav, Omarosa, Kelly Dodd, and the NRA. Only topics you'll find on Grant's exactly. Rants Hollywood Talk.
Pretty much span the gamut at this point.
Yeah. But, you know, I like being able to just go random. You know, that's what it is. It's a grab bag of fun, I hope, with a little bit of a message in between. You know, I do feel strongly about my views, and, you know, that's across the board with all this nonsense, so...
Yep.
Who knows? So you guys can keep up with us. Thank you for checking out the podcast. Please leave a review for this show. That could only help me and help the show a little bit more. So if you haven't left a review in a while, please make the effort to do that. You can do that through the iTunes app. And if you don't have anything like that, if you're listening to it through another app like Stitcher or whatever, there's also an option to do that. If not, like us on Facebook if you haven't already and message me. My inboxes are always open. I hope to hear from you. And we'll be back with more rants. Thanks, Joe.
No, thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
We'll be back.
This has been Grant's Rants. Support the Rants on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at It's Grant's Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roney. Voiceover by Aw Yeah. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen. The Grant Michael Collection.